Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There was a verb in there somewhere. Praise the Lord. Those are action words. So praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't we do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what I came for. I know the preacher. I didn't come to hear him. Amen. Amen. Yeah, y'all think that's funny now. When I quit at 1 o'clock, you won't think it's so funny. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see every one of you here. Man, Jay, Sister Rhonda, bless y'all. I seen a post from you the other day somewhere where the speed limit was 85 miles an hour. So, praise the Lord. Suddenly I wished I was with you. Amen. Because I've never done that legally in America. I didn't say I did it illegally. Don't be looking at me funny. Anyway, I didn't say I did it at all. It just implied. But praise the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you. Man, thank y'all for being here. Thank you for coming to honor the Lord. Amen. I'm probably not going to sing, so y'all can go ahead and sit down. I'm going to honor the few requests that I got. I'm not going to sing. So praise the Lord. Good to see y'all here this morning. Good to see my friend Matt and his wonderful, wonderful wife. Ruth, amen. What y'all don't know is that this is backwards. Because about 15 years ago, he was preaching to me. And he had every right to do it because he knew me, amen. But he persevered, and here we are, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you ever want to know, was he really as bad as he says he was, ask him. He'll tell you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Amen. You ain't got to be so adamant about it. So praise the Lord. I'm glad to have him. He is actually with us in the Zealots Motorcycle Ministry. And that brings up a very important announcement. Thank you to everyone who went yesterday with us. To the guys who couldn't be there, to the gals who couldn't be there. I know that you were with us in spirit, so thank y'all very much. I have a great group of people, an absolutely great group of people. We were able to go and minister yesterday. There was about 350 motorcycles there. It was a funeral setting, so there was definitely a lot of ministerial opportunity there. Amen. So praise the Lord. They certainly were in the presence. So as we get to know them, I ask that you would keep them in your prayers, that we'd be able to reach that community. Amen. So without further ado, I will go to the word of the Lord. I'm taking my text from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 3rd verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Lord, I ask that you would have your way right now in this service. Lord, I ask that your presence would go before this word. Lord, that hearts would be open to it. Lord, I ask that you would farrow our hearts, that a seed may be planted and grow today. Lord, I ask that you would encourage us in this place, that you would call us to action today. Lord, I ask all of this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'll try to be brief. I know there's barbecue when I shut up. Amen. That's a lot of pressure. Barbecue when I hush. But I will tell you that there's something that's been on my mind for quite a while. It seems to be in our society. We face it. And it's literally this. It's the thought of why? Why? Why can we do one thing and not another? Why do we have trouble with this and not with this? How is it that that we can pray to any other God and not suffer the consequences of it. As a matter of fact, people pat us on the back and say, boy, I appreciate your dedication to your religion, but you stand up and say something in Jesus' name. Amen. And you will find a completely different reaction. Amen. Dare I say that you may be frowned upon. In a lot of circles, you will be frowned upon. As a matter of fact, my wife, I hope she doesn't mind if I use her as an example. Pardon the personal inference. But she loves to write things. She's a writer. It's in her very nature. She always has. I've seen stuff that she wrote when she was very young. And even then, it was very good. Very good. Wonderful writer. I love her. I married up. If I was a gentleman, I'd let her out of it. I'm not going to. She said she would, and I plan on making her keep her word. But she writes things on the internet all the time about her faith, about what she believes, about what's going on. And it's amazing that a few people will like it. A whole lot of people will try to come against it, and they'll war against it, and they'll try to tear it down. It's amazing to see the arguments and how biased they are, but how current they are. We have a contemporary thesis here in America that is this, that Christianity is out and anything else is in. We were raised by a society who said question everything. I know you've heard Brother Grissom say this before, but literally that is the power that is now. They say question everything, but now that they're in power, they say, don't you question me. You just believe what I tell you because I've already questioned everything. Well, that's not good enough for me. You see, I have a text here that has explained some things to me. And it tells me that I'm not warring after the flesh, but that I'm warring after some spiritual things. There are some principalities out there that would love to tear down this Jesus name doctrine. There are some things out there that would like to tear down your belief in one God. There are some things that would like to come against your faith and make you just go through life mundane, ineffective, no longer praying, and without power. But we're going to speak against those today. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are some rules of engagement that we are taught in this very lesson, and it is this: we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. Even though we are robed in it, it guides us as much as we will let it. It certainly tempts us to do all kinds of things. I know every morning I get up and walk around in it the same way you do. When we get up, whether you be tired or whether you get up energized, you still get up in the flesh. You're still going to go through your day with a bunch of other people in the flesh. And they're in their flesh just like you're in yours. Now, I'm not going to use good English today. Is that okay? I hope I don't offend anybody. Any English teachers in here? Forgive me if there are. I learned to preach in prison. That's how I preach. So if I use some words, they're not cuss words, I promise you. If you want to know what they mean, I'll tell you later. I always have to give that disclaimer when I preach. But as we walk around in the flesh, I see so many people who have difficulties with praying, with being in the flesh. Whether it be that they get confused after things of the flesh, or they war against the flesh so much that they become so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good. We have to understand the first rule of engagement is we can't use the flesh. It's not a weapon. It's not a guide. And to be honest with you, it's really not that good. It seems like there should be a point when it's over. You should be able to someday get up and go, today's the day. I'm not tempted anymore. I don't want to do anything wrong. I don't want to overeat. I don't want to speak. I don't want to speed. I don't feel bad about nobody. I certainly don't want to talk bad about nobody. I just love everybody. But it's easy, finally. Finally, I'm there. So I went and asked an elder pastor one time. I said, when is my day coming? When is this going to happen? And he said, when I get there, I'll tell you. He said, I'm 60. I don't know. I still war against it every day. And so my comment to him was that I came to you for help. You're supposed to encourage me. Well, he took me back to the basics. As I was thinking about the problem, I got back to the basics. And by the basics, I mean absolutely. My first new convert's lesson, guess what scripture was the first scripture ever taught to me? 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And he taught a wonderful lesson on what it meant to walk around in the flesh. But I think that we already know that lesson pretty good. I'm not looking at any new beginners today. And by that, I mean, we've all had a chance to walk around in the flesh for a few years now. So you know what that's like. So why don't we talk about walking in the Spirit for just a little bit? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I always wondered what the significance of actually stopping in this and saying, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Notice I didn't say what they were. He just said they weren't carnal. It would have been real easy, like if we were going over to a battle chest and say, okay, well, that's a machine gun, and that's a grenade, and that's a rocket launcher, and here's how you use it, and here's how you use it, and here's how you use it. So we have to understand that this is in the middle of teaching us how to war. But first, we have to understand the rules of engagement. We can't use the flesh. We're not to be guided of the flesh, and we certainly shouldn't trust the flesh. And see, that's where we differ right there. That's the first difference that you'll see in this, and that is the world will tell you that people are inherently good. That is a lie. I know people, y'all excluded, and they're not good. Because I know me. I'd stand and look at a people every morning. I shave his face. I comb his hair. And he's a sorry individual. I know this. I have to battle with him all day long. He's my biggest problem. When you get to looking at people and you start thinking about someone and there's a certain person who walks in the room and makes your skin crawl, they're your second biggest problem. I said that. They're your second biggest problem. Because your first biggest problem is the one feeling it. As a minister, we encounter that probably more than anything. And that is this. That the devil has learned, the adversary has learned, the spirit of this world has learned some pretty good lessons. One of the coolest tricks, and he's a counterfeit. Y'all know that, right? He's a counterfeit. One of the easiest lessons that he ever learned in battle was one that God taught him, and that is if you can turn your enemy on themselves, then they'll fight your battle for you. And so what does he do? He keeps a good note. And he thinks, well, how can I make this happen with God's people? And the easy way to make that happen is to get our eyes off of what's going on and put our eyes on our neighbor. Because if you look at your neighbor's flesh, you're going to find something ugly. If you don't believe that, come live with me for a little while. If you think I'm a good person, come live with me for a little while. Or find somebody that you think is a good person, which is what I'd rather you do, and not come live with me. Well, go stay with them for a minute. This is why heroes like to be off alone in their own time. It's easy to be a hero when you want to be a hero, but it's hard to be a hero brushing your teeth. You may leave the cap off. There's all kinds of things. If you look at the flesh, it's easy to pick on somebody. And I'm not here to talk about our interpersonal relationships, but I'm just exposing one tactic that the enemy likes to use. And that is to get us focused on one another. And if that don't work, then the next tactic that he likes to do is to jack with you spiritually. Anybody in here ever fasted? You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever fasted? And so you say in your mind, I'm going to fast today. I'm not going to eat today. And the very next thought is, why just today? You can't fast 2 days. I mean, surely God, this is God you're fasting to. I mean, you fasted 3 days before. You can't do that today. Let me tell you something. All that is the adversary playing with you. If you say you're going to fast today, fast today. Because that's what was initially on your heart to do. Now, if God puts it on your heart to do something, by all means do it. But understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not the fact that you're fasting. It's the fact that you are setting something aside in the physical world that makes a difference in the spiritual world. And the adversary knows that. And if he can take away your good intention, if he can foul you up and let you know that you didn't do any good, if he can push your fast out further than what you can go and you fail at it, then you're a failure and he's got you beat. If you fall to that, guess what? He'll use it every time. You know how I know that? It's because if I say, I'm going to fast today, he said, just today? Another way that he likes to mess with us is in our prayer life. Now, I'm talking about me. I'm going to be the bad guy up here today. If y'all don't mind the personal inference. Told you I was going to use bad English. I kneel down to pray, and suddenly, what's on Facebook, which I never check, crosses my mind. I wonder if that bird is sitting on the handlebars of my motorcycle again. Did I leave my coffee pot plugged in at work? What exactly was he saying when he patted me on the back a while ago? All these things are suddenly important. Why? They wasn't important when I was eating lunch. They wasn't important when I was watching goofy stuff on YouTube. They weren't important when I was making the coffee. It wasn't important enough to double check it when I walked away from the coffee pot. Why is it important when I'm trying to pray? It's because our weapons are not carnal. It's not the fact that you're kneeling down. Actually, it kind of is, though, isn't it? It's the fact that we're putting ourselves low and taking God up high, that we're praying to the creator of this universe, that we're hooking in and plugging into the power that is. So suddenly, is my coffee pot plugged in? That's the best he can do? Why are children hungry in Africa? I don't know, and I can't do anything about it right now. But I can pray for them. And so you persevere. You press through. Understand that he will jack with you. He's jacking with you now. Because you're sitting there going, why am I listening to him? There's barbecue to be had. Shut up. I wonder if they have pickles to go with the barbecue. Love pickles on my barbecue. But if they have pickles, I got to have onions. You know you thought it. Do they have the buns with the seeds or not? Because that is how we war. But the answer is in this. We have to remember that that is how we war. It is that important. We do have to stay focused. It's so easy to claim something and in claiming it, act like we've done something and walk away from it and deny the true power that is. We have to pray. We have to submit ourselves before God. That's where we get our power from. My word says that He inherits the praise of His people. That's why we have to stand up and praise. That's why we sing unto the Lord. That's why we clap our hands. That's why we have to stay focused. That's why we have to come in here and do this. That's why we had to get up this morning. That's why we're going to leave here in victory, and that's how we're going to beat Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I think a lot of times about David. David is like my go-to in the Bible. I love David. If I have a question, I try to see what David did first. Because David is a man's man. He just was. He was a soldier. He was a prophet. He was a worshiper. He was a husband. He was a dad. He was everything. He was bad. He killed a whole giant when he was little. That's a bad dude. So I'm not a bad dude, but I'm going to be one when I grow up. And so I look at David. Here's what David has to say. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. This is the 25th Psalm, if you want to put it up. Now listen to this part. That sounds good, right? It's man stuff. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. It sounds like he's getting ready to fight, right? He's winding up. We know this is David the warrior. He's getting set. And then he says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. What? Thought we were going to go somewhere, David. Thought we was going to do something. Pick up your sling, man. Pick up that big giant sword. Let's go whoop somebody. But you see, David understands something. And that is, in warfare with us, it's spiritual warfare. Even though David fought many, many battles, he always, always sought after God first. He wouldn't go unless God sent him, and he wouldn't go unless he knew he had the victory, and he would never take anybody else's advice over God's. He always, always, always sought after God. What an awesome man he was. And then he says, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Wait. My Bible tells me to be still and know that I'm God. Isn't it funny that if you start looking through all the major battles in the Bible, the physical battles, it was amazing what they took into battle with them. One time, some lepers snuck down into the camp and scared them so bad they killed themselves. The children of Israel didn't have to do nothing. Matter of fact, they was waiting in the city thinking, I hope they don't attack. And they was already all dead. They just had to wait. They just had to wait it out. That's all they had to do. Just do what they did and wait it out. Another time, God told Gideon, all right, get you an army together, boy. And we're going to give you some special weapons. We're going to give you a lamp and a pot and some trumpets. Wait a minute, I'm taking the high school band to war. And not even the whole band, just the brass. At least give me some drummers. They stab somebody with the sticks or something. Or that tuba, you could hit somebody with that. But a trumpet? What are you going to do with a trumpet? I can tell you what God can do with a trumpet. He can conquer a whole army. He just wipe them out. There was a man named Korah came up against God's servant. And this is the coolest battle. Because what he did was, all right, here's what we're going to do. You think you're running this, and I think God chose me to run this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let God decide. So we're going to show up on the battlefield, and whoever the ground eats loses. I might would have showed up for that one just to watch. I ain't never seen the ground eat nobody. It said it swallowed them up. That's eating, right? Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but if you swallow something, you ate it. And that's what happened. Is God literally called upon the earth itself to fight for him. And he wasn't coming up against all of the children of Israel, just one. Just the one that he chose. Well, can I tell you something? There was nothing special about that man. Other than this, he knew how to fight his battles because he put his entire trust in God. He put everything he had in "Thus saith the Lord." He visited with God regularly. He submitted everything that he had, his will, his life, his time, his everything. And so he knew for a fact that he would not be ashamed. David prays out, "God, don't let me be ashamed. I'm willing to wait on you. I know that the victory only comes through you. Please don't let me be ashamed." He goes on to write, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." But then he goes on to really, really, really get to the meat of it. And he says, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners the way." I read that and that gives me such hope. That even when I fall and fail, I'm able to get up and say, "God, I'm going to give it 100% today. I know I'm getting up out of the ditch, but I'm telling you, I'm on the road now and I'm walking and I'm going to do everything that I possibly can." If you haven't done so good in the flesh today, if maybe you've lost a battle, let me tell you, friend, you have not lost the war. You are here today. You are sitting under the truth of this word. And I'm here to tell you that victory is in this house to be had. Amen. All we have to do is quit trying to war after the flesh. All we have to do is quit worrying about cleaning ourselves up and remember that there is an old-fashioned altar where the goodness and the mercy of God can be bestowed on our lives. I know God to be a good God. I know him to be a great God. He would have to be to put up with about half of what I've done. He would have to be an awesome God to someday pick me up out of the mire, shake me off, and set me on the ground and say, "Look, son, I'm going to show you how to do it." I know him. Oftentimes when I pray, I remember this. I literally have to speak out to him and say, "I know you. I know you. I know you. I see you all through my life, even when I fell, even when I was falling. I saw you. When I was sitting on a bar stool trying to get drunk and high, you would send somebody and ask a question about you. Why? Why would you do that? Why? Why would you even think of me? Why would you, being so good, look so far down?" Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad he did. I'm just one man. But I have a family. I have little ones. Now I see him in their life. Even when they kind of falter, I see how he guides them. He's a good guy. He's a great God. His mercies, I know no end to them. If you would like to meet that God, you can do that. If you have a relationship with that God, today's a great day to restore that. If you woke up and everything went perfect this morning, let me encourage you to come be energized for what's to come. There is no person in this room who should walk out that door the same way they came in. Because victory is to be had. You see, we're still in the battle. Victory is not here in the now, but it is to be had. It's through walking in flesh, but fighting with the Spirit. To be able to conquer your flesh. Paul writes that he dies daily. I'm not sure what his affliction was. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. He must have been an awesome man to be able to say, you know what? I called out to God 3 times. I probably wouldn't have told that. Me being human, I don't like to accentuate when I mess up. I'm learning to tell the whole story, even the bad parts. Because even God's there. As I'm closing, I would like for you to remember this. That the only way to lose this battle is to quit fighting. And I believe that is the biggest challenge of them all. For I've seen so many people who are doing so well. I almost get scared when people come to me and tell me this, because I've had so many men say this. They come to me and they're so excited and they say, Brother Martin, man, I'm so excited about God. I just want to see how close I can get to God. And man, I get with them and we have a great time of fellowship. And then I start seeing them falling off. And I go to them and I remind them, I say, hey man, remember we're going to see how close to God we can get. And they say, I know, but it's so hard. It's so hard. I think it's this, that sometimes we try to see how close we can get to God. When we forget that we can't do anything. I couldn't find God with a God detector. I know I made that up, but even if man made one, it wouldn't work. Because he was there for so many years and I never even paid him any attention. Because that's what the flesh does. It's only until he manifests himself in your life and starts to create that change that we're able to be close to him. I learned a nice little trick, and that's this. And you can't trick God, by the way. So don't think you're fooling him or sneaking up on him. But when you start to worry about being far from God, it's pretty easy. Just start to worship a little bit. Just walk into His presence. That's easy to do. And you said, well, I thought you said you can't find Him. You don't have to find Him. Just start to worship Him. It's true, He does inhabit the praise of His people. He does inhabit the worship of His people. So why don't we do that this morning? I know we're all comfortable, but I'm going to ask you to get uncomfortable for a little bit. If we could all just stand. If we could just lift our hands up to heaven. If we could just spend a few minutes. If you want to worship where you're at, that's fine. If you want to come up at the altar, that's fine. Because I don't think that He can't find you anywhere. But if we'll seek God in this place, I guarantee you He'll manifest Himself in your life like never before. If you'll just reach out today, you get to walk out that door a changed person. I said it before, and I'll say it in closing. You do not have to go out that door the same way you walked in it. Amen. Hallelujah.